We awoke this morning to news of a new missile being fired from North Korea. Japan and South Korea have objected strongly, but the real question is, with a new U.S. president freshly back from the rocky reception in Europe and a new hornet's nest of scandals domestically, just what will the U.S. response be? In the past, diplomacy has been the major weapon, but currently, with two U.S. aircraft carriers cruising Korean seas, everyone is a bit on edge. Roderick Chambers has this report.
Today, North Korea launched another missile which fell into disputed territory claimed by both Japan and South Korea in the latest provocation from Pyongyang. Japan has objected strongly, and new South Korean President Moon called a meeting of his National Security Council. But does this mean an escalation in the continuing North Korean attention-getting incidents? Well, it kind of depends on how this is viewed by the Trump administration.
Yeah, perhaps it's a little bit too much Hollywood, too much wag the dog, but given the tremendous domestic troubles that President Trump is facing in the ongoing investigation and the difficulties he faced in Europe, there's the nagging part of me that's really concerned about the risk of a distractionary war. And obviously, the more U.S. capability that is in the region, the risk of that miscalculation, I think, go higher. From a U.S. perspective, the testing of an old Scud is probably less of a concern and less provocative than the longer-range missiles that we might be concerned about. But it all comes down to how this particular White House decides to interpret it.
Gordon Flake there of the U.S. Asia Center in Perth. He believes that the current uncertainty in North Korea rests with the change in U.S. policy from President Trump. Dr. Leonid Petrov from the ANU's Asia Studies Center believes, however, that the threat to Australia in all of this is exaggerated.
We consider North Korea as an outlaw state, but we don't. We do have diplomatic relations with Pyongyang, but we behave as if North Korea is our enemy in our backyard, who constantly poses a threat to Australia, which is not Australia. Say there's 11 hours of flight between Sydney and Seoul. So talking about North Korean threat to Australia would be an exaggeration.
He says that we have to understand that there still exists a state of war between North Korea and the United Nations powers that participated in the Korean War, and that the North feels encircled by hostile powers.
So if we want the peaceful relations with North Korea, we have to understand that the country is believed it's sieged by the countries which participated in the Korean War, and Australia was one of them.
But under Kim Jong-un, North Korea seems to be upping the ante with its development of intercontinental ballistic missiles. These could reach the continental United States and also Australia.
Well, North Koreans are striving to have an intercontinental ballistic missile which could deliver a nuclear device to any point in the world. That's the dream for any dictator, and North Korea is not an exception.
And this is, in effect, why North Korea has become enemy number one for the Trump administration, because of this nuclear capability. Gordon Flake again.
If North Korea didn't have nuclear weapons, we wouldn't care about them, right? They would be tantamount to a lot of other semi-failed states around the world that we would not be particularly pleased with, but they wouldn't be the top foreign policy priority for an incoming Trump administration.
And also a top priority for Australia as well. But as our major trading partners, China, Japan and South Korea, are all uncomfortably close to the erratic North Korean state, Gordon Flake says it's not just the ICBMs that we should be concerned about.
In terms of Australia's national interest, however, North Korea already has the capacity to impact Australia more directly than it could if its missiles had the range to hit Darwin. The fact that North Korean missiles already have the capacity to hit Seoul, a city of 15 million people, Australia's fourth largest trading partner and second largest export market, or already have the range to hit Tokyo, Australia's third largest trading partner and second largest export market, means that, in terms of economic impact or strategic impact on Australia, North Korea's capacities are already there.
Dr. Petrov warns that Australia should be careful to hose down military options that the U.S. appear to be assembling in the North Asian seas, as there are currently two major aircraft carrier task forces in the region.
Diplomacy should prevail rather than a military posturing and simply a single-sided support of everything what the United States military is prepared to bring us into.
But although the latest Scud missile is an old technology, What if it had hit and sunk a ship from an allied nation? These missiles are going into international air and shipping lanes. Dr. Petrov again.
So, yes, I would not preclude the probability of some boats or aircrafts being in potential danger of an announced North Korean missile tests. And yes, that actually poses threat to commercial lines and shipping lines.
And Gordon Flake says that it is the U.S. response that could be the real question.
Say this Scud missile that we just saw this morning went awry and hit a South Korean ship or hit a South Korea or hit a Japanese ship. Would the United States' response be careful, measured, and commensurate? I hope so, but I'm not confident.
Gordon Flake, CEO of the U.S. Asia Center in Perth there, ending that report by Roderick Chambers.